Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I don't know why that guitar broke, but it was for a reason. And I'm so thankful tonight that the Spirit of God's in this place. I want to thank you for the opportunity to preach. Man, the Lord has spoken to me very clearly this week about what He would have me to preach. And it's for somebody in the house tonight. I mean, I'm so thankful. If you would, turn with me to Matthew tonight, chapter 7. Matthew 7, we will look at verses 24 through 27. Question now, as you're turning the question title, whatever you want to call it, what are you built on? We're going to look at two houses tonight. Jesus is speaking as we read this. Jesus compares the crowd He's speaking to. And in that crowd, there are people that are in two categories, two types of houses. In our life, we can take this scripture and apply it to us. Because in this room, we are one of two houses tonight. And I want to read these scriptures and kind of ask the question, what's under your house tonight? So if you would stand with me as we read a few verses, Matthew 7, 24 through 27. What are you built on? It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. For let's pray. Father, just so thankful to come to your house. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is in this place. Thank you that I can worship a living Savior. I thank you, Lord, that you died on that cross for me, that you rose again from the dead, that you may help me conquer death, hell, and the grave through Jesus. Tonight, let us just listen to what you'd have for us, that we may get out of the way and that we may stand in awe at the feet of the cross, what you've done for us there. Let your will be done. Guard my throat and my thoughts, and let everything that I say honor and please my Lord. Thank you. Thank you for these people. Bless them this night in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. May be seated. We're going to look at these few verses and we're going to compare and contrast tonight. I know that's a really schooly thing. When I was in school, I learned about comparing and contrasting. You'd take a subject, and you would look at what the similarities are, and you look at what the differences are, and we're going to take the scripture the Lord's laid on my heart tonight, and we're going to do that. We're going to compare first, and then we're going to contrast these two houses. And tonight, I'm so thankful that Jesus has laid a foundation for me and you. And we can look at that tonight, and we're going to kind of start with that comparison. And I want to look at, and I pray you would look with me in these verses and see what are the similarities of these two houses. One's on a rock, one is on sand, and we're going to look at that tonight. What are the similarities? And the first thing we see here in verse 24 and verse 26, both were built houses, both were established homes. If you'd look with me in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now let's go to 26. Everyone who heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Tonight, as we stand in this room, as we are at the church tonight, we are in two categories. We are either a house that is built upon rock, the rock, or we are a house that is built upon sand. Jesus speaks in this Sermon on the Mount, as he's preaching to these people, he's telling these people, we're going to compare and contrast. And the first thing he tells them is both houses, they're standing. And tonight you may be standing in this place, but your foundation may not be so sure. I believe if you were to look at these houses just at a far distance, you would have seen no differences between the two until you got up close and you saw what was under them. And we look at these scriptures, and Jesus is telling us these similarities, that we see that one was built on rock, one was built on sand. The other thing you see, a comparison, is trouble came to both houses. Didn't matter which one they were, they both experienced some type of trouble. The Bible says in verse 25, this is the house with a rock. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So the house with the rock under it experienced that trouble. And then it says in verse 27, with the house with sand, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Tonight, if you are a person living and breathing in this room, I want you to know something that you already know. Trouble will come your way. It does not matter what you proclaim. It does not matter what you do with your life. Trouble will come at your door. It will come, and it will not be invited, but it will come anyway. And the Bible tells me that no matter where you're at in your walk with Christ, whether you are saved, whether you are lost, whether you love the Lord or whether you hate the Lord, trouble will come sometimes in your life. A great example of this is just a page or two back in Matthew 5:45, says the end of that verse, "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust." So we got to understand before we get into this that trouble comes. It does not matter what house you live in tonight or what you are sitting on top of as your foundation. We go back to Matthew 7. We look at the different types of troubles they experienced. And if you look kind of in detail with me in verse 25 and 27, the first thing that comes to both houses is rain. And everybody knows what rain is. Rain comes from the sky. And rain is something that is not controlled by you or me. It just comes when it wants to. In this scripture, I believe the Lord gave that example of rain. And as I've studied, I looked at this and I'm like, what's so bad about rain? We think of rain sometimes and we think of it as a help. And so I got a little bit confused, and as I dug deeper, there's a deeper meaning behind this. Another detailed translation, it gave me a word that I want to teach us tonight, and that word is called a torrent. A torrent. And what that is, and I looked up the definition, a torrent is a violent or forceful flow of fluid, especially water. And so this is not talking about your everyday little bitty rainfall. We're talking about something that is forceful. We're talking about something that could be dangerous if it comes very hard, and that torrent may come on our lives. And I say that to say this, as I was preparing and asking the Lord what He would want me to preach on Thursday night. If you'll remember, there came a storm, and it rained pretty hard. I know at my house, looking at the radar, because I like to see when it's going to stop. I like to see, I'm sure people do that. Looked at that radar, and I've got a video on my phone if you don't believe me. About 30 minutes before it started raining, there was nothing on that radar. There was absolutely no rain within 50 miles of this place. And it kept going, and you know, it gives you a little track, 15 minutes at a time, 15 went by, and the time it started raining, a pile of red and yellow and green was on top of us. It started from absolutely nothing, there was nothing on that radar, to all of a sudden the torrent fell. And my house is metal, so it was very, very loud, and it was beating on our house. And I could just imagine that torrent, and that may be sometimes in our life when we seem that all is going well and the radar looks clear, and then all of a sudden, bam, it starts raining in your life. Jesus is telling us that, hey, it may be clear skies at some time, but eventually the rain, the torrent, the flood is going to come to your life. And with these two houses, it didn't matter where they were at. The rain started. And that torrent started, that incredible, violent, or forceful flow came on that house, and it started to come down. And we see in these verses, as we look back in Matthew, that not only the rain, but it also says something after that, and that is the flood. Okay, so a flood is, you know what that is when it rains. Instead of water having somewhere to go, it has nowhere to go. And so it builds higher, and it builds higher. And it builds higher, and you can imagine, you can picture these storms that we've had lately, and we can picture floods that we've seen, especially I think of New Orleans, a place that's very below, it's below sea level where it stands, so that water, it can't go up, it goes down, it's got nowhere else to go, so it builds. And it builds, and as much as it rains, is as much as it floods. The Bible tells us in this verse, in verse 25, the rain descended on that house with a rock, and the floods came. And in verse 27, the same happened with that house built on sand. The rain descended, yes, but then the floods came, and that flood water has no place to go. We can kind of picture this. I picture, you know, I've seen things on news of how homes are just taken and destroyed because of a flood. And I've heard stories of people being trapped in their homes and the floodwaters rising, and they just climb and they climb as high up on top of the house to the point they're on top of their house to try to keep themselves from drowning. But I'm going to tell you, if that water keeps rising, you know what happens? They die. If that water keeps rising, if they got nowhere to go, their house is destroyed. And the problem wasn't them, the problem was the foundation. See where I'm going? The Bible tells us that the rain descended and that the floods came. It also tells us right after that, the rain, the flood, but it tells us the wind came to both houses. And we're not talking about a 5-mile-an-hour gust here. We're talking about something that'll push you down. We're talking about wind that is violent. We're talking about wind, and Jesus says the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, and that would be a forceful wind. And as I've studied this and I've looked at it, the question came to my mind, how do I withstand wind? If you've got nothing to grab onto, you know what's going to happen when a flood comes and the winds blow? You get knocked down. If you've got nothing to grab onto, you're not going to survive. And so that raises the question, how can I withstand that rain, that flood, and especially that wind when that gust comes at me? And it says the wind came to both houses. And I wrote this down, the best way to withstand wind is to grab a hold of something. Is that not the smartest thing to do? You see these weathermen out there, and they're trying to hold themselves together, and you know the wind, you know, sometimes they do it for fake, you know, it's not really blowing. But sometimes, man, that wind's about 50 miles an hour, and they're doing their best to and talk about the hurricane. Why they're there, I don't know. But they're there, and they're in danger, and the wind forcefully pushes them, and if it gets strong enough, it's going to take them out. Because they ain't grabbing a hold of nothing. All they're doing is trying to hold themselves there. Tonight, you may be just trying to hold yourself as close as possible, but eventually the wind gets too much for you. And it gets too much for me, and you've got to grab a hold of something, or you're going to die. So what can I grab a hold to? I'm glad you ask. The Bible tells me that I've got somebody I can grab a hold of, and His name's Jesus Christ. I grab a hold of Jesus, and I wrote this down. When you grab a hold of Jesus, Jesus grabs a hold of you. Ain't that good? And when I cling to Jesus, He clings to me and He never lets me go. And I'm so thankful that I've got something under my house that when the floods come, the winds come, the rains come, my house will stand because of Jesus. That flood, that wind, they came to both houses, but the house that stood was had something sturdy under it. Had a firm foundation that blah. So let's look at what it says in this verse. We see the rain, the flood, the wind. It also says that the beatings came. Read with me in this verse. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. Says it like right there in verse 25, and it says it right there in verse number 27. The rain came to both houses. The flood came to both houses. The wind came to both houses. And we see that violent, violent beating started. This text continues and it tells us this beating is not just a one-time thing. The way it's spoken by the Lord would indicate that it's over a period of time. A beating over a long period of time. You've seen the movies where the wind gets rough, and y'all know that little movie screen door on the front of the houses that just whips and whips when the winds come. You seen that? That little wooden screen door, it's on front of them old-timey houses with the screen porch, and that thing would just flap in the wind. Over a period of time, if that thing is not latched, you know what happens? It falls off the hinges. Because the rain was too much, because the wind was too much, because the flood was too much, and the beating continued on that house. Jesus says, and it beat upon that house. Another translation of that says it slammed against. And so that door that we talked about, over a period of time, if it slams hard enough, it's going to fall off. And tonight, if you've not got a foundation that's secure under you, you may hold on for a long time. But eventually, the rain's going to be too much. And eventually, the flood's going to be too much for you. The wind and that beating is just going to be too much for you. We've compared. Now, if you look with me in these verses, I want to kind of look at the contrast between the two houses. It says in verse 25, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. The other one says, the rain descended, in verse 27, the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. We've got two contrasts in this text. And the first contrast that you see is that, yes, that both of the houses were built, but one of them was built by a wise man. And the other house was built by a foolish man. You've got to be smart where you build your house tonight. You and I have a choice where what we build our house on. And I'm so thankful that my house is built upon thus saith the Word of God. Because that house is something that'll stand. One was a wise builder. It was founded upon the rock. One was a foolish builder. And I asked the question, why was the wise builder considered wise? So I did some digging. Looked at another translation, and you know what it tells me? It gives me a little more detail. It says, a far-sighted man. Somebody who looks into the future. See where I'm going. That man that was smart, he was wise because he didn't look to now. He looked to when the storm would come. He looked to when he couldn't hold himself. He looked to when that mighty rushing wind came and beat. He saw it coming. And that's how he decided what he would build on. He looked to the future. He knew the storm would come. And tonight we have a storm in our life. And one of the main storms we have is that storm of death that we all face. Brother BJ, you preached on it this morning, talked about it. Everybody will face that storm of death. The only difference between you and me or what you believe and what I believe is what our house is going to be built on. When that day comes and we're laid to rest and we draw our last breath, the only thing that matters is not us, but what's under our house. And what we founded our life upon, whether we were nearsighted and looked to the world or whether we looked to farsighted, we looked to the future, we looked to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as we've seen, this man was considered wise. Why was that other man considered foolish? The Bible tells me he was nearsighted. He looked around. He looked at what the world gave him. He looked at what was cool for a little bit of time. And he looked to what was fun for a season. And he put everything he had on it. And then when the future came, you know what happened? He had nothing to grab a hold of. And the Bible tells me it fell. And great was the fall of it. This man was considered foolish because he looked to those worldly things. I wonder tonight who's looking at the world. I wonder who's got a house and man, that house looks great on the outside. That house has the best paint in town. That house has the best cars under the driveway. But the house is built upon sand. And Jesus tells me it's not about how good the paint looks. It doesn't matter if you use Walmart brand or you use the best Sherwin Williams. It don't matter. It depends on what's under the house. Tonight I don't have the best looking house, but I know what my foundation is. My foundation is what Jesus done on that cross for me. How he bled, he died, he rose again and gave me a home in heaven. And because of that, you can be nearsighted or you can be farsighted. Jesus says you're one way or the other. He looked at that sand that was around him. And I picture this. Picture that sand, man. When you go to the beach, you want the good sand. You want the sand that looks clean, do you not? If I look and I see dirty, nasty sand, I don't want to go there. A great example of this, me and Holly, we've been married for a little over 2 years now. When we went on our honeymoon, we went to Destin, Florida. Man, that's the most beautiful beach you'll ever go to. Clean, the beaches, the sand is beautiful. Second vacation, we went to Daytona Beach, Florida. The nastiest sand you'll ever see. And we didn't stay on that beach long because that was a nasty place to be. And tonight, the world will give you something that looks so good. Something that looks so clean. Man, it's just innocent. It could be something the rest of your friends do, but it's not what God would want. I'm not trying to compare myself to my friends. I'm trying to compare myself to what the Bible has to say. And the Bible tells me if that's not clean sand, I ought not to go there. And so the question tonight is what kind of sand? And these far-sighted people, man, they didn't look at that sand. They looked at the storm that was on the shore coming in. And that foolish man, he built his house on the sand because, man, he saw it look so good for a short period of time. And because of that, he was considered foolish. So the last comparison we see in this text is that not only was there a difference, the difference was one stood and one fell. Read the verses with me. 25, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And this is the one with the rock. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Ladies and gentlemen, that house did not stand because of how good looking that house was. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible doesn't teach me, man, it wasn't because of what the house looked like on top, if that makes any sense. It's about when you got under that house, what that house was standing on, what that foundation was. And the one that stood was one that had a firm, solid foundation. As we continue to read, the house that fell was the house with sand under it. It says in verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Was that house ugly? Probably not. Was that house abandoned? Probably not. when I look at a house and when you look at a house and drive by it, man, you don't say, hey, that's a good looking foundation, do you? No. That's a pretty house. I like to have a house like that. We say these things. But that thing could be a 5-story mansion. It doesn't matter if that thing is built on sand. Tonight, we're in one or two categories. As we stand tonight in the house of God, we are only able to stand by what's under us. And that house that was built upon sand, the rain came for a long period of time. I figure one rain, it probably stood. But it just kept on going. And the floods came and the waters got so high that the house could not sit upon that sand anymore, and it was devastated. And the wind continued to blow it on down, and the Bible tells me that because it was built upon sand, the fall was great. And it fell, and great was the fall of it. Tonight I'll leave you with a question. What are you built on? Simple question, man. It's a simple question. It deserves a simple answer. You can't give 100 different answers. You've got to give one or the other. Jesus tells me there's one or two ways. It's the house that's built upon sand, that's built upon the world, that's built upon sin, that's built upon the devil, that's built upon every other thing other than Jesus Christ. And the house that was able to stand. And I'm so thankful that we have a house that can stand because it's built upon that rock. What are you built on? I'll leave you with a little example. The house that's built on sand. And we're talking about what you're living on, what you're living by. What are you doing with your life? I love this example, man. The Lord spoke to me in this. You know that sand... I'll start with this. As Christians, I want something that's concrete under me. I want something that I know is not going to fail. Is that something you want in your life? We want something that no matter what happens, we can cling to it because it's stronger than we are. And that's what Jesus is. He's that concrete foundation. But I got to doing a little digging. Did you know that in making concrete, sand is a part of it? I was like, what? To make concrete, you take cement, you take gravel, you take sand, and you put them together. So when I come to Jesus, when I come for that solid foundation, I don't get rid of the sand. I give Him the sand. I give Him what I'm built upon because I can't do it no more. And that concrete was made by cement. And it was made by gravel. And it's made by sand. You put them together, but you got to have one more ingredient. You've got to have water. And that water in the Bible represents that blood that Jesus shed for me upon the cross. And when I give Him my gravel, I give Him my filth, I give Him my sand, I give Him my cement, and I'm able to stand because the blood of Jesus Christ is mixed in. Does that example make sense? The only way I can stand is because the water has to be applied. The blood that Jesus died for me has to be applied. And so I'll leave you with a question. Do you have something concrete under you? Do you have something that you can relax and say it don't matter what comes? It may be rain, it may be wind, it may be storms, it may be a flood. I'm built upon what's under me. What are you built on? Let's pray.